What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for waiting. Back live with another episode of the Red and Gold Standard podcast. My name is Zach Hernandez, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Matt Llewellyn. Matt, how you doing tonight?
You know what? I am drinking some of this TO 81. Yep, there it is, the 81 Cabernet Sauvignon. You know what? I'm enjoying it. It's a great night, man. Let's get it started. You know, it's a smooth wine. So anybody out there, go to, what is it, 81.com?
81vino.com.
81vino.com. Enter the code HIVE. You get 10% off. It's a good wine, man. Like, if you guys are looking to have something for a dinner party, dude, the bottle is sweet. The label is textured like a football. It's really cool. And I think it's really cool that a 49ers legend like Terrell Owens has gotten into the wine game. It's really good, man. So go ahead and give it a shot. And again, enter the code HIVE at 81vino.com and you'll get your Terrell Owens wine like the rest of us. It's pretty good. But how are you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. A little bit of the Sunday night crappy feelings are creeping upon me, getting ready for the work week, but that's all right. At least we're live.
Absolutely.
Talking to some Niners. And the biggest question I think I've been going over myself is, have the 49ers done enough to become a contender in the NFC this season? What do you think?
You know, so I preface this by saying that the 49ers had enough talent to get the job done in terms of being a contender. But in terms of what the reality is, I mean, we saw Justin School go down with an injury and Tavarius Moore go down with an injury. School's case, it was an ACL. Moore's case, it was a torn Achilles. Within a couple plays, according to Kyle Shanahan, that is going to be the biggest determining factor into whether or not the 49ers have done enough. And I know that they've gone after Jefferson. They've gone after a couple other players to kind of fill depth. You know, the injuries and the health is going to be the most important thing. To me, the fact that they shored up the quarterback position with Trey Lance, quarterback of the future, is the biggest indicator, because they were pretty competitive in terms of being in games, being within striking distance of getting wins, even with bad quarterback play in terms of Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. So the fact that you can now back up Jimmy Garoppolo, who when he played the full season, we got to the Super Bowl, the fact that you can back him with the number three overall pick with Trey Lance, it bodes well in terms of, even if Jimmy gets hurt this year, which he's done, you know, two out of the 3 years he's been the starter for the 49ers, you have a guy that can take over and carry the load. And because quarterback's the most important position, even if you do have guys that go down, you know, hopefully it's not anybody crazy like Nick Bosa went down last year. Hopefully Nick Bosa can stay healthy. But even if you do have a guy like a Dre Greenlaw or somebody else, right, go down, you have enough depth to back him up. And simply by having, you know, two quarterbacks who you foresee to be actual starting quarterbacks in the NFL, if Jimmy goes down and Trey steps in, you hope that there's enough there that, you know, the 49ers can stay competitive. So in terms of that, at least from the quarterback position, which is by far the most important position on the field, I do feel like the 49ers have done enough in terms of if injuries do hit again. But you want this team to stay as competitive as possible. And I've said it. For me, the ideal is for Trey Lance, when I go to that game at SoFi in January, right, January 9th against the Los Angeles Rams, week 18, you know, Trey Lance should be starting that game, not because they needed him to start week 5, but because Jimmy did so well that the 49ers didn't need him to start at all, and it's the last game of the season. The 49ers have the number one seed locked up, and they don't need him to start. That Patrick Mahomes situation, that's what we want. So in terms of have they done enough, in terms of quarterback, which is there, I think they've done enough. In terms of the other positions, we'll see. I think wide receiver and linebacker are thin, but in a lot of other, you know, areas, in terms of, you know, D Ford, they signed Samson Ebukam to kind of take over that spot. You know, they drafted Ambry Thomas and Deamador Lenoir in the secondary. They signed Tony Jefferson in the secondary. So between wide receiver and linebacker, I think that's the most thin positions on the team. But elsewhere, I think they've done plenty.
Yeah, I totally agree with your assessment. And I think the 49ers, the biggest thing, like you said, is they were already kind of in, you know, close range of winning a lot more games than they did win last season, whether it was one score or you know, two scores. The 49ers, for the most part, have done a good job, and I give most credit to Kyle Shanahan, of keeping them in each game no matter what. I mean, take away a couple of games here and there, obviously that Miami Dolphins game, the Buffalo Bills game. But for the most part, when talent was about equal, the 49ers were able to do a lot. And that's saying a lot when, again, just like you said, you had C.J. Beathard, you had Nick Mullins, these guys who just no team could basically win with, at least long term. So now that they have Jimmy Garoppolo back, and Kyle Shanahan was recently just saying that he's had the best spring he's had since he's been with the 49ers. He was breaking it down, saying, you know, like this time he had the ACL, and then this other time he had just gotten here. Or I think he was coming off of like his first half of a season with the 49ers. So now he's got a full off season. The ankle that kept him out last season is now fully healed up. So I do think the 49ers are in a good position to compete in the NFC. On top of all of that, I think their biggest competitor in the NFC, and I'm trying to think, obviously the Bucs now are the top dog in the NFC, but prior to Tom Brady arriving in Tampa, it had always been the Saints. And now the Saints are gone. I don't want to say gone, but Drew Brees is gone, and make of that what you will with their quarterback position. But I don't think the Saints are going to give the 49ers as many fits as they had previously, but obviously same division. The Tampa Bay Bucs are now there and they're top dogs. So that's going to be a big kind of hurdle for the 49ers to get past in their own conference. Obviously, Seattle is always still a big game twice a year. So they have to do a lot more to continue to be competitive within the NFC. But it sounds like we both like what they've done so far before preseason, before, you know, these things even come upon us. So I'm happy with what they've done. And you brought up School. That was kind of the big news in the last week. Unfortunately, 49ers offensive lineman Justin School tore his ACL, and defensive back Tarvarius Moore tore his Achilles. So they are both gone. Justin School was later waived on Friday. How much do you think these injuries actually impact the 49ers going forward, Matt?
They're not nothing, but at the end of the day, I think that they're two positions that, in terms of players that were behind on the depth chart, I think School hurts a little bit more than Tarvarius Moore does, particularly given what we got going on. But with Aaron Banks and, you know, the other draft pick that they made, and with Laken Tomlinson coming back, and really with Sean Coleman coming back, who hasn't played since 2017, really, the depth on the offensive line in terms of what they have is a little bit more. I don't, you know, it's just Tarvarius Moore. Yes, he was a nice player. I know 49ers fans like him a lot. I just think that with Tony Jefferson there, with already we have Jaquaski Tartt and we already have Jimmy Ward at the safety position, just Tarvarius Moore, I think, you know, not the most. The thing that you worry about is that these injuries really bleed into more important players going forward. It's not so much that, okay, Tarvarius Moore and Justin School, that really sucks, and we're really upset about that in terms of depth or whatever. But what we don't want is for that injury to bleed into a Trent Williams or a Mike McGlinchey or, you know, an Alex Mack or a Nick Bosa or an Eric Armstead at that front line where we really need those players, right? Because you can find rotational depth a little bit easier than you can find frontline starters, obviously. So if it's the backups that are getting hurt and banged up, at least you can find somebody to kind of shore up that depth if you really, really need to. And yeah, there's going to be a little bit of fall off, but it's not nearly going to be as bad as what it'll be if you don't get those top line starters. And Hung Fat's putting it up. Jalen Moore, that's the other guy. Thank you for reminding me. It's, you know, sometimes we forget. So, but yeah, like if you have your frontline guys, the depth will take care of itself if you stay on top of it. And it's not ideal to have injuries at any point in the season, but at least, you know, if you're going to have injuries, it's better to have it on your second line than your first line. And I think that the 49ers would do well to kind of, you know, go there. And yeah, I forgot about Talanoa Hufanga, who, by the way, I absolutely love. I think that that's awesome that they drafted him. I foresee him doing big things. So again, that's why to me that Moore injury doesn't hurt quite as much.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that the 49ers, like you said, their draft picks, they've done well in insulating themselves from this risk of injuries completely decimating the team. And that's why Kyle and John were saying this is the first time we've ever taken injury history into consideration when drafting players. So not only does it help them on the front end, but on the back end as well, when guys that you already have on the roster, like a Tarvarius Moore, like a Justin Skull, when they go down, well, that's fine because you have a guy who's been historically healthy, at least for the most part, in their college football career. Now stepping in, they can learn the ropes. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact on them, but it is worth noting because they had played relatively large roles in the past, mainly due to injuries, though. So hopefully that doesn't come to that. Going over some of the reports from last week, we've both been concerned about the 49ers wide receivers, you especially, Matt. The reports coming out are saying that veteran Mohamed Sanu is looking great. And there's a quote here from offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel I wanted to get your opinion on. He said, if he comes back to training camp in this shape, he's going to be tough to beat out for the final 53-man roster. Do you expect anything from Sanu, or do you think this is just August talk?
I think that, you know, Sanu is a veteran who maybe has something left in the tank. And when you look at what else the 49ers have, like, you know, you expect somebody like Sanu to make the roster. That's not necessarily so. When you say Sanu is going to be hard to beat out for the 53, you expect at least four wide receivers, if not five, making it for the final roster. So that's not saying that, you know, Sanu is in line for the number three spot. I think that's still going to be up in the air between Jalen Hurd, between Juwan Jennings, and between Richie James. And I think that Sanu is really, they're slotting him in for that fourth spot, right? That veteran presence that you want on your team to kind of get everybody else going. But I really would like to see, you know, what Juwan Jennings has, because I have heard the thing, you know, that Juwan Jennings looks a lot more spry this offseason, this training camp. And so between him and what we've seen from Jalen Hurd in terms of that preseason game we saw where he scored the two touchdowns, you know, you really want to see that competition at that third spot. But Sanu making this team is like a fourth guy. Absolutely, I think that's a possibility. And it was reported last year when they cut Sanu that, you know, Ayuk and Deebo Samuel were both kind of like a little upset about that they thought he was a great veteran presence that helped them out. So it turns into a thing of like a Richard Sherman where you're just like, hey, you know what? Sometimes when the old heads can teach the young dogs how to be professionals, that is almost in and of itself as valuable as what their production on the field would be. If you can get Mohamed Sanu to teach a guy like Deebo Samuel to, hey, you need to stay in shape all year round, or like an Ayuk, here's some little tricks that you can do to take you from being just a good rookie wide receiver to being that true wide receiver number one. Those are the things that you look for. Production on the field sometimes isn't the primary motivation for keeping someone on your roster. And I think in the case of Mohamed Sanu, that it might be more what he gives in the locker room in terms of leadership and a veteran presence rather than what he's going to give you on the field.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Emmanuel Sanders trade. Not that he wasn't productive on the field, because he was, but he brought a lot more. I think it was Deebo who said, that's the first time I've ever actually been taught how to watch film really as an NFL player and how to break it down and know what I'm looking at. So yeah, Matt, great point that it's more than just stats. It's more than just what you see on the field. It's outside of the field. It's how you carry yourself as an NFL player, how to keep yourself in shape, like you said, keep his weight in check. So there are all of these other factors that play into it. And I think Mohamed Sanu would be a great, valuable piece of the 49ers wide receiver core if he's able to make the final 53, which by all reports are kind of indicating he will. So that's something to keep an eye on, and we'll see what happens moving forward. Also, some of the news in the last week is the 49ers got penalized by the NFL, and they were, I think they lost a week of their rookie camp. This is from the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. He was saying the NFL stripped 49ers 1 week of rookie training camp due to an infraction that was recorded and shared on social media. They didn't specify which clip, but everybody kind of surmised.
I think it was Diamador Lenoir who was posting a video of himself in coverage. Exactly. Yeah, that's part of it. I think that it coincides. I know a lot of people were being like, oh, Kyle's calling it off because of the injuries. I think it just coincided that way. But at the same time, I don't know that it's that important, because it's not only the rookie camp that Kyle canceled. It's all this veteran mini camp for coming up that he also canceled. I just, you know, in a post-COVID world, I think in a lot of ways, COVID changed things for a lot of people in terms of, you know, we had the, you know, we had the lack of training camp and the lack of OTAs last year. And we saw that, oh, well, maybe that didn't impact us as much as we thought it was going to. If you give them the plays and we do Zoom meetings, we can kind of accomplish most of the same things. And I just think that, you know, the NFL is always adapting to try to be smarter. And especially with a 17-game season, if you can cut out some of these extraneous workouts, that's probably what people are going to want to do. You know, the 49ers, especially our, you know, our bye week is week six, you know, which means that there's 12 weeks after that bye week that we got to get through. And so anything that you can do to kind of, you know, to kind of get through that and into a more manageable situation. If you don't have to have people out there in pads, then why have them out there in pads? And I think that's going to be a thing going forward that the 49ers are going to, and not just the 49ers, but a lot of teams are going to do. I know a lot of the focus is on the 49ers, but the Texans canceled some of their practices. I know other teams are kind of following suit. I expect that to be more the norm going forward, especially for the vets. The vets don't want to do like an 8-year vet, like a guy like Aaron Donald. He doesn't want to come into training. He doesn't need it. He knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He knows what his job is. He knows what the team expects of him. So to have him come in for OTAs, it's just kind of, it's just busy work that he can do elsewhere. So I expect that going forward, that the off-season programs are really going to take a turn in terms of what happens post-COVID.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of like jobs in general outside of the NFL too. Like a lot of people have adapted over the last year to working at home. The same amount of work is getting done. Why should we have to go back? You know, it's like people have adapted and they're finding ways to get the same amount and same type of work done. So why not roll with it? There's a comment here, exactly. Though. Why is my wall glowing? So that is actually a sign that says on air over here. Where is it?
To be honest, I can't make it out.
No.
So guys, we are going to, we're using, so this is Inside Baseball. We use StreamYard right now. And StreamYard kind of caps us at a lower resolution. And so what we're looking into is going into, OBS and doing a lot of our stuff through that, using Discord as a proxy for video. And once we do that, our resolution will be jumping and the production values will be going up. So once that happens, you'll probably be able to read on air. But the way that StreamYard hamstrings us, we're kind of loose on that right now. So we'll get there. We'll get there. This is all a growth process, and we really want to have that nailed down by the time the season gets going. So we're hoping to be OBS 4K streaming for everybody by the time the season goes around. So we're going to be looking like your favorite super duper YouTubers. So go ahead and smash the like. Go ahead and follow. It helps us out. It'll help us get there. So even if for kudos points, we want those likes. So go ahead and smash that like button for us.
Yeah, it might not seem like much, but in the YouTube algorithm world, it does help. So if you're watching, hit that like button, subscribe. We're super close to 2,000 subscribers.
Yep. And with that in mind, we'd like to announce a new initiative that we're going to be doing leading up to the season. We want to hear from you guys. We love our interaction with our fans. We love everybody here every week commenting and doing all this stuff. So leading up to the season, we want to do interviews with you guys, with our fans, to see what you guys think is going to happen with the 49ers season coming up, what you guys think of the team going forward, and everything like that. We'll be reaching out to fans and seeing if you guys want to come onto the show and, you know, interview with us, and we're going to put that out on YouTube. And I think it's going to be a great initiative going forward for us to connect with you guys. So with that in mind, she doesn't know, but we're going to ask her right now on air live, Melissa Rebele. We are looking forward to you being the first interviewee. You have been such a good, positive influence on our channel. We'd love to have you on to talk about 49ers going forward. So if you would like to come on, we're going to reach out to you and we'll set that up. So we're really excited about that. Everybody, we want to have everybody that wants to be on going forward. I think it's just going to be super cool. Zach?
Yeah, definitely. And Melissa would be a fantastic first guest. She's been so much help throughout the course of our channel. She's always plugging our content, giving us shout outs. So we couldn't be more appreciative. Also, thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate you as well. If you'd want to come on, we'd love to have you on. just to talk 49ers with all of our subscribers. We really do appreciate it. We got to get hung fat. Yeah, we got to get hung fat. That would be.
You know what? Honestly, like I hung fat is like the unicorn, right? Like we want to get hung fat. I don't know if hung fat wants to get us. Like that anonymity is just such a part of Hung Fat's persona that if Hung Fat ever came on, he'd have to, you know, he or she would have to use the voice changer and be like, you know,
black screen
with that black screen, no face, no nothing. So Hung Fat, let us know if you're down to reveal your personality. I know that one of the other infamous 49ers personalities, East Bay Chris, let his personality go live on a live stream. We'd love to do that for you. Absolutely. But you know what? We're going to start with our heart. We're going to start with Melissa. So Melissa, if you're down, let us know in the chat and we'll get it started.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We'll reach out as well. Also, yeah, Steve brought up, we were able to raise over $500 for the VTA Solidarity Fund
that went
directly to the victims of the shooting here that happened in San Jose. So thank you everybody for buying tickets for the raffle. I still have all the raffle tickets somewhere around here. We had to cut them out by hand. I wasn't smart enough to just think to buy a roll of raffle tickets from Amazon. So yeah, that was fun, but
sucks to suck, bro.
It does suck to suck. But overall, thank you everybody for buying tickets. It went to a fantastic cause and somebody won an autographed Brandon Ayuk jersey out of it. So thank you. Thank you everybody. Let's see next on the, so moving on, Melissa here. Are you guys serious? Yes, we'd love to have you on. We'll set
absolutely.
It all up.
Absolutely. Yep. We're going to set that up for you. Yep. You've been nothing but, you know, a positive influence on our community, and we want to recognize that. I mean, that's something that we absolutely love and appreciate, and we would love to have you on. You know, you're a great contributor to our comments, and so we want to get you out there to everybody else. And, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Zach would love to have a conversation with you, and let's just talk 49ers football. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Next, back to the show. Cam Inman of San Jose Mercury and East Bay Times recently asked Kyle Shanahan with his assessment of the 49ers. And there's this quote here I want to read and get your opinion on, Matt. Kyle Shanahan said, I was just kind of like what I said with Trey, the quarterback to begin with. Sorry, this is about Trey Sermon. Just those guys being able to go through all these practices. Last year we had rookies. We didn't get an offseason, and you have a bunch of rookies show up for training camp and you have no idea what they're into. Some think they're in shape and they tweak stuff and it messes up their whole year. To be able to get rookies here and see what it's like to play to NFL speed, to learn the playbook, to go out there and understand how NFL practices are, how fast you go, and how much better the people are across from you, it just gives those guys an idea of when they come into camp, what I've got to work on. And I think it helps those guys have a much better rookie year. So Trey's been great. And Sermon, we're talking about each week, he's gotten more and more reps as we cooled it down with Raheem a little bit here the last couple of weeks. It's given him even more opportunities. How excited are you to see Trey Sermon in this offense?
I actually think that by the end of the year, that Trey Sermon is actually going to be running back one. I think he's going to replace Raheem Mostert. My issue, listen, I have an issue with Raheem Mostert. I know that he's fast. I know the 49ers fans love him, but the fact that he held the team up for money is something that kind of sits poorly with me. You signed a contract in good faith to do a job, and just because you outperform that contract doesn't mean that you necessarily get to renegotiate it. It's the problem that I have with a lot of things. Listen, I'm all for players and people advocating for themselves, but if you sign into agreement as somebody who was in the military, like, you have to honor that agreement. You know, I could have been the best soldier in the world, but I'm not going to go back to the Army and be like, you need to pay me twice as much just because I'm better than what you thought I was going to be. So, you know, it's to me, Trey Sermon. I mean, and by the way, Zach, you got to watch your Treys out there, because there's two Treys this year in the draft that we got to watch out for. And I know that everybody's looking for Lance, but I think that Trey Sermon is going to be the slept upon guy. You know, it's, you know, I know that he had an injury in college, but I mean, he's a big dude. He's a solid dude. And if he can take over the spot that we think that he can take over in terms of where the 49ers drafted him, I think, I mean, that's a high draft spot for a third round running back. That's where Alvin Kamara came from. So There's nothing to say that Trey Sermon can't absolutely supplant Raheem Mostert, and getting him up to speed and getting him in the offense to where if even something does happen to Raheem Mostert, that he can step right in. I mean, and then, you know, we're not even talking about Wayne Gallman, who's going to be there too. So this running back room is really deep, and I would love to see what Trey Sermon can do for the 49ers going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a deep group. And yeah, it's kind of similar to like Robbie Gould when he kind of held the 49ers up. Like, you've been consistently saying like that doesn't sit right with you, just because, like you said perfectly, you signed a contract, go out there and honor that contract. But I do think that Trey Sermon was drafted for one specific reason, and I do think that is to supplant Raheem Mostert eventually as a starting running back. He's on a rookie contract. They really like what they've seen from him, even so far in the rookie camp that was cut short. But I think also when you look at his time at Ohio State, he's kind of the perfect back for Kyle Shanahan. And I do think that that style and that marriage of the offense with his skills is going to work perfectly for the 49ers. So I'm super excited to see what they can get out of him. And also, Ashok said it here, Raheem Mostert staying healthy is a doubt, as it looks like his knee is fragile. That putting all of your eggs in Raheem Mostert's basket is something I think the 49ers learned the hard way last season, because outside of him, they had Jeff Wilson, Tevin Coleman. Say what you want about him, but that just was a failed experiment, and that's why he's in New York now.
Sure. And then, but, of course, Cargo playing McKinnon.
That.
But, like, so my thing is, like, of course the fan base loves Raheem Mostert just because of what he did in the NFC Championship game, and he ran all over Green Bay, and we all see that, and we all know that, oh, he's got the 4.3 speed, and he can get outside and do all this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, before he even got to San Francisco, he'd been cut by, what, 8 teams? You know, he was a guy that bounced around the NFL. You know, as much as I love the 49ers, you know, this right here, that's what I love. You know, players I enjoy. I love Fred Warner. I love George Kittle. I love all these guys. I love Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he's, you know, looking like he's not the guy. I love Trey Lance. You know, they just drafted him. I don't even know that much about him, but I love him. At the end of the day, the name and the emblem on the front of the jersey is more important to me than the name on the back. So for as much as we love Raheem Mostert, if he's not going to be the guy that is the best for this position, whether it's through injury, whether it's through skill, whether it's whatever, you know, he was a guy that was cut by 8 teams. So when he gets to us, a lot of that honestly is the system. If you can get Trey Sermon in there, whoever's going to give the 49ers the best chance to get that W on Sunday is who I'm going to be rooting for. And it's nothing personal against these players, but I'm in it for the 49ers to win Super Bowls, whoever is going to be on the team getting them Super Bowls. So to me, it's, you know, my heat with Raheem Mostert notwithstanding for kind of holding up the team. You know, I think that Trey Sermon eventually is going to take over that number one spot.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a stretch at all, especially, you know, the injury history, age. You know, I think he's more valuable in Kyle Shanahan's offense than he basically is anywhere else. It kind of reminds me, and obviously not to that extent, but when Le'Veon Bell was in Pittsburgh and he had that, like, fantastic year, and then he wanted more money, and then he sat out a year.
Yep.
What has he done since?
Yeah. Did you see that thing that that he came out and said, I'll never play for Andy Reid ever again? And I'm like, dude, Andy Reid is one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the NFL. Yeah. Like, I don't believe that there's something wrong with Andy Reid. I believe something's wrong with you, dude. What's wrong with Le'Veon Bell that he couldn't get along with Andy Reid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. So.
Yeah, he said he'd rather retire.
Yeah. Hunk Fat, we'll get you on eventually, dude. I know you're trying to keep your identity a secret, but we're gonna get you.
We'll get
you. Don't worry, we'll wear you down. It's like Steve Urkel. It's like Steve Urkel with Laura. I'm wearing you down. I'm wearing you down. We'll get there.
Kali said Raheem should be the change of pace back. No more than 10 to 12 carries a game. Sherman was brought in to fill Coleman's role. Mitchell could fill Mostert's role as that quick speed back if Raheem gets hurt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Sermon was brought in to fill that Coleman role, but Sermon's going to do that a lot better than what Coleman was doing. I think Sermon initially is going to be that first and second down back that they really want. But I think that Sermon's going to be so effective at that role that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to need to switch out from that. you know, like you need a pass catching back on third downs. I don't know that that's necessarily much more Mostert than it could be Sermon going forward. So I think that Raheem Mostert really needs to play his cards right in terms of production and staying healthy and all that. Because if he doesn't, the 49ers can just be like, all right, well, walk. We got this third round running back for 4 years. We don't care.
Yep. I totally agree. So, like we said, it was kind of like insurance for the 49ers against injury, against, I don't want to say attitude, but it's like, you know, Raheem Mostert believing that maybe he deserves more money, whatever the case is. I do think that the 49ers did well by the team in drafting a guy like Trey Sermon and also Elijah Mitchell, who Melissa brought up. There was an article that just came out today, Matt. I think it was from Pro Football Talk, and they were talking about Kyle Shanahan having a lot of fun with the fact that people were speculating, is it going to be Mac Jones? Is it Justin Fields?
I saw don't know that.
Yeah, you get a chance. So
I saw that, and he was like, dude, if you ever see me like really pushing for something and really going for something with that, you know, if you see that, it's probably for a reason. And, you know, there are a couple people. There's a guy that's on Twitter. I'm not going to name his at. I don't need to give him more pub than he does. But he's a guy. Let's just say he's a Phoenix Suns fan. He always talks about – he tries to push this narrative that the 49ers always wanted Mac Jones. And between what you see from the press in New England who are like, dude, Mac Jones just looks kind of average.
Yeah.
Right? He's not as good as Cam Newton. Which, to me, I'm just like – damn, dude, if you're not as good as 31-year-old, I busted my shoulder and my feet, Cam Newton. Like, that's not good. I've never been a Cam Newton fan. And the fact that Cam Newton, I feel like his arm is shot and you can't beat him out, like, that to me says a lot. So the fact that this dude is trying to push the point that Cam Newton or that Mac Jones was the guy, I just don't see it. And I think that Kyle comes out and is just like, hey, you idiots thought that, like, I wanted this guy. Maybe it's because I wanted you to think that. And it's just like, what is the point after the fact of lying? Like, he could have just been like, yeah, we were tuned into Mac Jones. It's not even like he said we were tuned into Mac Jones and then like Trey Lance stole our heart. He was just like, I let you fools believe that because I wanted you to, you know? Yeah. And that just tells me that's like he's low key, like shitting on Mac Jones.
Yep.
And so like, to me, that says that it was Trey Lance all the way along. And I totally believe it. There's no reason for me not to believe Kyle. Whenever I've heard Kyle speak, it's not like he said, you know, when they talked about drafting Trey Lance and talking Jimmy Garoppolo, their answer was absolutely 100% spot on honest. Like, yeah. It's not that we don't like the way that you play quarterback, even though, you know, there's always room to grow and stuff. It's just that you can't stay healthy. Yep. We'd be fine with you if you could stay healthy, but you can't. So we have to draft this guy. And I absolutely think that that's part of it. So. I absolutely do think that that's part of it. So, by the way, Melissa, you're welcome for the Family Matters reference. I'm an 80s kid, so I know all about that stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, there's the quote here from the article that I wanted to read out for the viewers who maybe haven't read the article. But Kyle Shanahan said, I do laugh at, and he's basically saying that everybody thinks that they know exactly what I want at quarterback because I thought we had a chance to get Kirk Cousins, the number one free agent quarterback who was going to be on the market in our second year. So Shanahan told this to Tim Kawakami of The Athletic. And since we did, people just assume that's how I would draw it up, which if you draw it up, obviously you're going to give the guy everything. I do believe that you have to be able to win from the pocket in this league as a quarterback, or it will catch up to you. But holy cow, if you can run, it makes playing from the pocket a lot easier because those defenses are going to change and stuff. So.
Yep. And there's been articles recently where Kyle said one of the things that I noticed in OTAs about Trey Lance is that he has command from the pocket and that he only takes off when he absolutely has to. You know, when you're working with Brian Hoyer and CJ Beathard, of course you're looking at Kirk Cousins going like, fuck, dude, I wish I could have that. Like, oh, my God, that would be so much better. Is anybody disputing that? Does anybody think that Kirk Cousins isn't a significant step up from CJ Beathard and Brian Hoyer? Because if not, they're lying to you. And that's not to say that, you know, Kirk Cousins is like the end all be all of quarterbacks. No, but when you're watching trash in your building and you're like, well, I can get like a lukewarm dish rag. Well, a lukewarm dish rag is better than trash, right? But that doesn't mean that's what you're doing going forward. And when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, that plan kind of changed. When Jimmy went 5-0 in the last five games of the season, they were like, maybe this will work. All right, well, that wasn't what we were planning, but it looks pretty good. So let's give him a contract, see where we go. And again, that goes back to what I said, that they're not necessarily unhappy with the way that he's playing. They're unhappy with the fact that he can't stay healthy. So from that perspective, you know, you have to look at it like maybe, you know, Kirk Cousins was on the radar and everybody thinks, oh, Kirk Cousins is the guy. Kirk Cousins was the best guy. Like you said, he was the top free agent quarterback available. That was what they thought they could get. So in that, in terms of that, of course, you're going to shoot for Kirk Cousins when you have what you have. But you get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, and you're not happy with his play, but he can't get healthy. Then you see a guy like Trey Lance, who you fall in love with, so you go get that guy. Is any 49ers fan absolutely not excited about Trey Lance? Even the guys that are like, maybe he's not the best pick, they're all sitting here going like, well, shit, I wonder what he's actually going to do.
Yeah.
Dang, dude. The first, you know, and the first time in the second preseason game where he throws like a 50-yard bomb for a touchdown, people are going to be like, oh, shit. Okay. Okay.
Now it makes sense.
And then they're going to be counting down the minutes for Trey Lance to take over for Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But anybody who's trying to say that Kyle Shanahan is not telling, you know, it's not telling the truth when it comes to what he was looking for in the quarterback, they're just delusional at this point.
Let's take a quick break from today's show to say thank you to the sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Baxter Blue. Do you experience digital eye strain from too much blue light exposure from digital screens? Baxter Blue glasses are not your average frames. These blue light lenses filter 80% of the highest energy blue light, eliminating 99% of the glare. The past year, we have all been glued to our devices more than ever. I know I myself am constantly on my phone, whether it's managing 49ers Hive or on my laptop recording new episodes with Matt of the Wrinkle Center podcast, and my eyes have definitely felt the difference. Our exposure to digital light has soared, and all of our eyes and our sleep are suffering as a result. Baxter Blue is also a force for good and provides a pair of reading glasses for someone in need for every single pair sold. This is eyewear built for a digital age, and Baxter Blue is giving our listeners 10% off your next purchase of blue light, sleep, or kids' glasses. Click the link in our show notes for your exclusive discount. This is the sign you have been waiting for to invest in blue light glasses. We know you will love your new Baxters, and we know that you will feel the difference. Make sure you click the link in our show notes to get 10% off your next purchase of Baxter Blues. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, just like Kyle said, it's all about team building. And at that moment, when he gave that quote, that was the best option available for building a team. And Melissa made a comment here. Kyle picking Trey Lance makes me believe his "I really love Josh Allen" comments in 2020.
Absolutely. And that was the thing that, like, when he came out in the press conference and everybody was like, oh shit, it's Mac Jones, he's totally taking Mac Jones, I was like, that's what you guys got out of that? Because I absolutely don't think that's what he was saying. Yeah. Because he definitely said Lamar Jackson with Drew Brees. And I was just like, that tells me that it's Justin Fields, Trey Lance, whichever one he decides is the better guy. And I think that Lance is the guy that he wanted because Lance is the guy that has less ingrained, you know, After the draft process, I really watched and I really, really, really honed in to Justin Fields' throwing motion. And I do see that hitch in the throwing motion that's kind of weird that, like, okay, maybe Kyle doesn't want to deal with that. But Trey Lance is more of the blank slate where you can, okay, I'm going to make him how I want to make him. And he only started 17 games in college. And it wasn't at Alabama where he has the luxury of all these crazy receivers and stuff. He was playing with garbage against garbage. And he just consistently stood out as the most athletic person, the most talented person on that field week in, week out. So I'm going to take him and I'm going to try to hone and mold him into the NFL quarterback that I want. And because of that lack of experience and the fact that he is going to be more malleable in terms of not having the bad habits that other quarterbacks have, like a Justin Fields who started 3 years in college, you're looking at a guy that, you know, does fit Kyle's system. So I absolutely do believe that, you know, Kyle wanted him from day one. And I do believe that. So,
yeah. And I think that the fact that all of these reporters, just like Ashok says here, I don't believe what the media say when it comes to the Niners anymore. Lombardi, Schefter's, Rappaport's all got a dead zero in earlier blockbuster moves of the Niners. Going back to what, Jimmy Garoppolo trade? Like, I mean,
We talked about it when Chris Sims came out and was like, oh, it's Mac Jones. And then everybody parroted that. And I was just like, this team doesn't leak anything. The fact that you guys are saying that tells me that you guys are just grasping at straws. You guys are trying to get clicks for your website. And it is a lack of respect in terms of what's going on. As far as David Lombardi, Jesus Christ, David Lombardi pisses me off. He's the guy that's like, Trey Lance looks like a rookie quarterback. When you talk to a John Middlecoff, who's like, dude, he looks better than a rookie quarterback to me. You know, David Lombardi needs plan B for as much as he's been dick riding Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay. And I hate to say it like that, but it's true.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's been impregnated with Jimmy Garoppolo hype, and I just can't deal with it anymore. He's talking about it like Jimmy is going to be the quarterback going forward, and he's not. Jimmy is going to be the quarterback this year and this year alone, if that. Beyond this year, it's Trey Lance's team. Like, we all know it, except for David Lombardi.
Apparently.
You know, when it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, I think actually David Lombardi writes some really good articles about the 49ers. It's just he has that blind spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo like said hi to him in a sexually suggestive way one time or not. But, you know, whatever it is, I just don't get it. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the future of the 49ers anymore. It's Trey Lance. And the sooner you get on board with that, I mean, you know, we have multiple other sources saying Trey Lance looks really good in OTAs, including from Kyle Shanahan, who said he has pocket presence, who said he's handled everything that he's thrown at him, that he's excited to see him going forward. On top of like Middlecoff and Tim Kawakami and other people saying like, hey, dude, Trey Lance looks really good. And then you got David Lombardi going like Garoppolo.
All right.
I know the YouTube algorithm is going to get us, but.
The 81 Vino is hitting Matt pretty hard.
By the way, just play the fucking little video real quick. Just that was like a mini one. Okay, yeah, Lombardi stop. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, there was a comment here though. Did you see how Florio ended that article? And I did. I need to read this to you. There is no need to be secretive unless they trade it up without truly knowing which player they plan to take. And if that's the truth, did they allow the Mahomes and Brady misadventures to cloud their judgment because they could have stayed put at 12 and gotten Lance or Jones, especially since no one would have expected them to take either guy. I know this take will prompt 49ers fans to say that I hate their team, just as fans of every other team that I ever criticize will say, and that's fine. But it sure feels like the 49ers have fucked this up, and it feels like, given the likelihood that Garoppolo will be the week one starter for the 49ers and the very real possibility he'll stay healthy all year like he did in 2019, they may fuck it up some more. What? I mean...
I know. It's Florio. Florio came out the other day and was like, hey, dude, if people don't get the COVID, if players don't get the COVID vaccine, that they should lose their game checks. And I'm like, dude, you're a fucking journalist. You should not be talking about players' money. And whether you agree with them not getting vaccinated or getting vaccinated or whatever that conversation is, dude, that's not up for you to say they should lose their game checks. Like, if you want to report on the fact that, like, you know, for example, Cole Beasley is famous for saying, like, I'm not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine, blah, 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 blah. If you want to report the fact that Cole Beasley said he's not going to get that vaccine, that's fine. But to say that, hey, maybe we should look at them not getting their game checks. Dude, who the fuck are you at that point? Who are you? Who are you even, like, where do you get off saying that shit? So for him to say, oh, the 49ers are fucking it up, they didn't know, blah, 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 blah. Like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Really?
And then to
assume, oh, like 2019, Jimmy's probably going to be healthy. How do you even know?
Yeah.
Did anybody expect Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018 to go down with a torn ACL in week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs? Did anybody expect Quinn and Williams to roll him up for a high ankle sprain in week 2 this year? No, you can't predict that stuff. Florio is a garbage journalist. I'm just going to say that right now. He just says whatever's on his mind. He has verbal diarrhea. He is a jackass, as Kali says, And dude, you can't just come out and say things like that with no backup whatsoever. You're saying that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had no idea when they've told you straight up that both of them knew in January that they were looking at Trey Young or Trey Lance, excuse me, Trey Young. I'm basketball playoffs. Sorry, guys. Trey Lance, that they were looking at Trey Lance as their guy in January. And you're telling me that Floria just knows. Again, we're back to this. Journalists just know what the 49ers want to do.
Yeah,
like, get out of here. He's trying to create clicks. Listen, guys, it's early June. People are looking for things to talk about until we get to training camps in July. That's all it is.
Yep.
Florio, I don't give any credence to whatever Florio says. He is such a negative, pessimistic, nihilistic type of reporter. I can't get with him. And I know he does that podcast with Chris Sims. Chris Sims, too, by the way, you know.
He's gotten bad.
You thought you were Kyle's friend, but maybe, just maybe, he doesn't like you as much as you think he does. So
it's a real possibility. And I look, I
should
still
we play the fucking video again? Like,
let's play it again. Like
I know I did another.
Let me. We got two Matt Rath. Yeah, I think so, and I think you said it perfectly.
And I'm not even trying to dunk because we definitely were trying to get in with the team so we can get some free tickets, but no, I'm just kidding. no, but like, I want people to tell it how it is. Don't just make stuff up, dude. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, they definitely fucked up because, and if Jimmy stayed healthy, oh, they fucked up again. It's just like, you don't know, dude.
Nobody
you
knows.
Don't know.
Nobody knows, and not only that, but I love how he conveniently just skips last year where Jimmy wasn't healthy. And,
right.
And to say that that's basically the norm, that we can assume like 2019, Jimmy will play all 17. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
And that's what you talked about earlier when you're like, dude, if they stay healthy, like, what do you think? And I'm like, dude, the fact that they draft Trey Lance, if Jimmy gets hurt again, they can stick Trey Lance in there and it's going to be worlds better than CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins. So they're even if Jimmy gets hurt, they're going to be able to compete for a playoff spot because of the fact that they address the position that is most important on the field and that hasn't been able to stay healthy. So for Florida to be like, oh, they fucked up. It's like, stop, dude. Stop. Just stop. Kyle is telling you in OTAs that he's looking really, really good.
Yep.
Thank you, Hung Fat, for the $10. Honestly, I agree with you. Florio is fucking trash.
Yep. Kali says, Matt, I think that wine is kicking in, my friend. I love it. Bring that smoke.
Yeah, so I was okay. So before the stream, I was hanging out with my neighbors and we were drinking beer. We had a couple of glasses of whiskey too. So I'm definitely inebriated. So sorry guys, it happens occasionally.
That's all right. Another Sunday closer to football.
Sunday fun day, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Florio, I had to cover that article just because it's laughably bad. And that's saying a lot for Mike Florio, because especially his weird bias against the 49ers. But this one kind of stuck out. And he was basically saying there's no reason for the 49ers to have been as secretive as they were regarding the trade up to number
three.
That's
false, though, when you look at the fact that the Jets were picking in front of him and half of the Jets coaching staff came from San Francisco.
Exactly.
Like, okay, we're going to tell you Trey Lance is the fucking guy, and you know that Robert Saleh and Michael LaFleur respect Kyle Shanahan's opinion and are like, oh, shit, he's the quarterback guy. He's telling me that you know, Trey Lance is the guy. Maybe we look at him instead of Zach Wilson. And, you know, the reports are that Zach Wilson is killing it at Jets training camp, that he's throwing, like, dots. And you love to hear that. But to say that there was no reason for them to hold the cards close to the chest when you're talking about your half of your former staff is somewhere else, by the way, they're picking one pick ahead of you, yeah, that's bullshit. And that's why I sit here and say, dude, you don't know your elbow from your asshole if you're trying to say that, dude. Like, if you're trying to say the 49ers fucked up because they hid the cards from the people that were just in their building and went through half the process. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt week two. I guarantee you, as soon as Quinnen Williams rolled up on his ankle, they were like, let's start looking at college quarterbacks, because this is like, we can't go through this again. Like, he's going to go through. And then he came back and played a couple weeks and then went out again. And they were definitely like, okay, now we really got to look at college quarterbacks to get through that. So you know, like to say that they screwed up because they were doing their due diligence. Come on, get out of here, Florio. That's horseshit.
Yeah. And same, you know, going back a couple of months before, I mean, basically from February to April, we were all saying, should we be 100% positive that the Jets are going to pick Zach Wilson? Is that right, as sure as everybody is saying it is? And I think that Florio apparently is saying, yes, everybody should have been 100% positive. But yes, I have still yet to have been told one benefit the 49ers would have gotten out of coming out here and straight up saying, oh, yeah, we traded up to get Trey Lance. What do they get out of that? Absolutely right. Nothing. There's no benefit to doing that. So it makes no sense to me.
And if you believe Lynch and Shanahan, who said, hey, January, we knew, dude, Lance was the guy that we had zoomed in on, right? Then that precludes the 49ers were in on the Zach Wilson sweepstakes. So if the Jets had taken Trey Lance, they would have been happy with Zach Wilson. We don't know that.
Yeah.
All we know is that those two said, we'll be happy, and we identified Trey Lance in January. That's our guy going forward. So that's who we want. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
How's the 81 Vino? Listen, Terrell Owens was a great wide receiver. He has teamed up with a wine team. They're doing their best to give you a great wine. And it's smooth and it's drinkable. And I would say, listen, dude, if you want a Cabernet from Paso Robles, get T.O. 81 Vino. It's a good wine.
And use code HIVE, 10% off.
Use code HIVE, 10% off.
Yeah, free shipping, two or more bottles.
I'm not upset by it. Listen, dude, I'm drinking it on air, so I'm not upset by it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not upset by it.
New York Giants made it no secret. They want the Slim Reaper, and the Cowboys traded back to help Philly take the wide receiver right before the Giants.
Yep. Wait, the Giants wanted Kevin Durant? Different sport.
We're going to start taking some questions and wrapping things up here, guys. Just this whole Mike Florio thing. And again, if somebody who thinks the 49ers either weren't all in on Trey Lance or secretly did want Mac Jones and that there was no reason to lie about it, please tell us one benefit they would have had to coming out and saying what their plans were after they traded up. Because I don't think anybody could make the case. I mean, the damn Jaguars didn't even know who they were taking at number one, even though everybody knew they were going. You know, it's like there's no benefit to coming out and flat out saying it. So she says, Matt is fucking just like Mike Andrews. This is too trippy. Shout out to Mike.
I love Mike.
All right.
He was on our show before. We should get him back again. But yeah, it was good. Hey, you know what? Honestly, if it was trash wine, I would tell you it was trash wine. But it's not trash wine, guys. It's a very, very drinkable Cabernet Sauvignon. So get out there and drink it. 10% off with code HIVE at 81vino.com.
All right, some questions here from earlier in the show. Shock said, how are the special teams going to be this year? Enough safe catches with Elijah Mitchell, Taulona Hufanga, Ambry Thomas. I expect them to at least be improved.
Again, if it's not Richie James, it's already an improvement. I'm looking at Elijah Mitchell and Austin Watkins to be the guys that you're really looking at. Ambry Thomas returned kicks for Michigan, but I don't think that is what the 49ers are going to have in mind for him, simply because as a third-round pick, he's going to have a lot of potential in terms of if D'Amico Ryans is going to move the team towards more press man coverage, that's Ambry Thomas's wheelhouse. I think that he's going to play that spot. Considering that the rest of the secondary, other than who they drafted, is stuck on one-year deals, they really need somebody to step up, and I think Ambry Thomas is that guy. I think 49ers fans are going to be pleasantly surprised by what he brings to the table. So I don't think Ambry Thomas is going to be that guy. I don't think Hufanga is going to be that guy either. I think Hufanga is going to be the hard-hitting safety that they're going to, you know, play in terms of on the pass defense. They can stuff him in the box to play the run. You're looking at Elijah Mitchell and Austin Watkins in terms of the new guys. I really think, though, in my opinion, the inside track is going to Trent Sherfield, who came from the Arizona Cardinals. I think that's the guy that has an inside track. I'd love to see Elijah Mitchell do something with that, but I think Sherfield has the experience and that he's going to be a pretty decent returner for us. Better than Richie James. Richie James is trash at returning. Sorry, guys, but he's bad.
He was not good. The 49ers, I really hope they do have some sort of improvement based on the last couple of years from the special teams returning game, because it really wasn't anything. I mean, they have not been a threat there since, you know, as long as I can remember, honestly. And I do think that it's time to take the third aspect, offense, defense, special teams, and really turn it into a weapon, turn it into their advantage, because for the longest time, it's been neutral, if anything, a negative. So now it's time to take your talents, put them out there. They tried with Dante Pettis. They got to give him credit for at least drafting the NCAA, you know, record holder.
You know what was weird, though? They didn't even really put him back there that much. They put him back there a couple times, and then when they did, you know, when he fair caught or they didn't get the result that they wanted, they immediately pulled him back. And I thought that at least with Dante Pettis, if you're not going to use him as a wide receiver, just stick him back there in the punt returner and a kick returner, just get the shit knocked out of him, you know, to kind of help him out maybe. But they didn't even do that. So it was kind of, you know, the 49ers return game has been disappointing all the way back to Kyle Williams fumbling twice.
Yeah.
To New York Giants. They haven't had a good returner since then. Well, that's not true. I guess 2012, 11 and 12, they had Ted Ginn. That was a good returner, but they need some of that, you know. Richie James is the guy that's like, you know, he has a lane this way, right? 5 yards, nobody there. 18 guys this way. Which way do you think he's running? He's running fucking this way. So they need somebody better back there.
Yeah.
Sorry, and, Richie, you know what it is. You know what it is. You're what, 27 years old now? You haven't figured it out? Come on.
They also have veteran Travis Benjamin. Who knows if he'll bring anything to the table, if he'll even make Trash. The roster.
But I know he people are, has listen, I know people saying Travis Benjamin, but dude, when was the last time that dude got any fucking play on an NFL roster? Like, really? The last time I remember Travis Benjamin was when he was on the Browns and he got knocked out cold on a return. He got like straight up headhunted and he was like stiff as a board. He was like, I don't trust that guy. Come on now. Let's get new blood in there.
Colley, what are your expectations of Wayne Gallman?
I think Wayne Gallman's going to be a nice change of pace back, and I think that he's going to be a lot more effective than people think. Honestly, I'm really down on Raheem Mostert. I really am. And I hate to say that because I know all you guys love Raheem Mostert. I don't love Raheem Mostert. I just think he's a fast guy that's one cut back. If he can hit the hole, he can get there. But I don't think that he offers that much more than what anybody else can do. And the fact that he held the team, again, the fact that he held the team up for money just pisses me off so much. Right? Yep. Like, and I'm usually pro player, but dude, you signed that contract. Like, it's not even like it was like year three of a 4-year contract. It was like year one of a 3-year contract. Like, he had signed the contract and it was like beginning of year two of that contract that he was like, oh, I outperformed the contract. And I was like, dude, you've been cut by 8 people. You think it's you? And rather than Kyle Shanahan, like, really? Like, come on, dude, yeah. Why don't you prove it? And then you can ask for if he would have proved it and he would have came out and had a year similar to what he had in 2019 and he was able to come out and actually live up to that. But no, he held them up for money. They gave him the money, and then he immediately got hurt and didn't do shit for the entire year. And I was like, well, okay, I guess. Thanks for that. Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Good job.
I think you know? The 49ers, they may feel a certain way towards Raheem Mostert, and that's why they, you know, bolstered the running back group as much as they did. I didn't expect them to draft 2 running backs. They themselves said they didn't really plan on doing so, but the talent was there. And then they also signed Wayne Gallman. So the opportunity is there. I think they're clearly hoping to move on.
It shows you exactly what their mindset is. Like, hey, Raheem, dude, you're replaceable. Yep. And guess what? We just drafted Trey Sermon to replace your ass.
Yep, exactly. You know? Exactly. I'm excited about Wayne Gallman as well. I think he's going to be a nice addition for the 49ers.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think that's like a really underrated signing that is going to make waves and be impactful for the team. Because again, we're talking about, well, the 49ers, damn, they dealt with all these injuries. Well, Wayne Gallman gives you a depth that you can really go to. And it's not Tevin Coleman, -1 yards in a cloud of dust like he was doing, right? Like, Wayne Gallman is going to be able to give you something. Wayne Gallman is a decent pass catching back out of the backfield. So I fully expect Wayne Gallman to make an impact on this team. And I'm very excited about that.
Yep. Let's see, Melissa. If you haven't already, please hit up Nitty Gritty Niners, Ladies Night from yesterday with myself, Crystal, Mariah, Donna, and Denise. To check out.
I'm going to check that out for sure. Yeah.
Matt going to make me go buy the wine, and I did, and I got drink. You can always have more. What annoy y'all more, the safe catches of the open field or the fumbled catches and runs that lose us the possession?
Obviously, lost possessions are worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of returns, if you're going to fair catch it when you got – one of the things that I always saw was, especially with Dante Pettis, but Richie James too. And by the way, Trent Taylor was absolutely the worst at this. When you're fair catching a punt, and there's nobody within 15 yards of you, and you're just like, come on, dude. Like, really?
It's like they made the decision before they even the ball even snapped. They're gonna
and make Pettis would catch. Do the thing where like he would call fair catch when nobody was within 15 yards of him, but then he would field a punt when there was a guy like 3 yards away, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? Why?
Yeah, it's
what is happening? What the fuck is going? Like, are you blind? No sense. I'm watching this. I can see. Look. You're right there. I'm watching on TV, and I can see on TV with the sidelines, you know, the view that they put on TV. There's nobody there. You're right there. You go, look, oh, the guy's right in front of me. I think I'm going to take that punt and try to run it back. Really?
I don't understand. It's like they're trying to prove something as punt returners. It makes no sense. Yeah. It really does make no sense. Melissa, are you guys afraid Kyle will discover a good returner and pull him for packages on offense or defense?
I think he's hoping that Elijah Mitchell or Austin Watkins is going to be the guy that's specifically tuned towards that he doesn't have to use him at any other point. And I think that's why he picked up Mitchell, who, you know, again, was like, you know, this fringe college guy, but then, you know, during his pro day ran a 4.340 and he's like, oh shit. Okay. This guy's fast. Austin Watkins, a similar situation where it's just like, okay, maybe he's more thrifty and shifty and movement based than we thought he was, and he can get out there. So you never know.
Yeah.
But no, I think that he wants a return specialist for sure.
Yeah. And Austin Watkins is a name we haven't discussed today, but we both discussed, and that's a name to keep an eye on, because I do think that he could land and find some traction here quickly.
By the way, Melissa, I know your Jersey heart is bursting. Listen, I know you love him because he's a Jersey guy, but in terms of jerseys, let me tell you something. My Trey Lance Uber Duber authentic jersey came in. The game day jersey, that $400 joint. It looks good. It looks good. I'm going to start wearing that thing during the season for these live interviews. So I have it in my closet. It looks really good. So just so you guys know.
There you go. You'll see it soon. Melissa also said, I'm 100% over Raheem. I like his story, like Marquise, but nope, rather move on too early than too late, like Jared.
Yeah, you have good stories, right? Raheem has a good story. Marquise Goodwin had a good story. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, the story could carry you to a point, but if you're not producing on the field, it's like, okay, cool, you got a good story, but you know, what have you done for me lately? Nothing. So kick rocks, bro.
Yep.
To the next place.
Let's see. Shock, any pass catching from running backs is really helpful, especially with our third receiver issues. Yep.
Exactly.
And shouldn't we count?
Well, I want to see juice getting more. Yep, exactly. Getting in more juice pass catching, because listen, we all love that game against Pittsburgh, which Zach and I were at live, where Kyle Juszczyk dribbled Minkah Fitzpatrick off the ground like he was a basketball. Like he was Kyrie Irving crossover in the lane. He just dribbled him off the ground.
That's one of those reels that'll live forever.
Yeah, and then he had a catch later in the game where like he had taken a shot to the head, but he still caught it. I think Kyle Juszczyk is criminally underused, and I think that part of that last year was that they were worried about the quarterback situation. But man, if you can get Kyle Juszczyk involved in the offense, my God, like I just feel like he is such a mismatch coming out of the backfield.
Exactly. Gallman has the ability to do what Kyle hoped Jet would do in 18. Great point.
Cargo plane McKinnon.
When does Niners news come back? Soon.
Yeah, soon. I think training camp is when we're going to bring that back. So mid-July, late July.
Yeah. Right now, there's just not enough.
Definitely for the preseason. There's not enough. It's hard to create we don't want to bore you guys. We don't want to create content just for the sake of creating content, right? Like, we're just going to put out 5 YouTube videos a week that, you know, that are 10 minutes long that you guys are like, yeah. Like, we want to entertain you guys. So if there's stuff that we need to talk about, absolutely, we're going to talk about it. But beyond that point, we don't want to just put out content just to, you know, say, oh, we did it. Look, there's this trash video we put out. Go watch it, guys. We're here for quality, not necessarily quantity.
Yeah. There are plenty of channels. I'm not going to name any. I'm not even thinking of any specific, but that flood the market with, you know, 2 to 3 videos a day, every day. That's not us. We also both have very busy outside lives. So
lives and jobs.
If it's not important enough, we're not going to cover it. We're not going to waste your guys' time. So
right. But if it is, absolutely, we're going to bring you a video for that. Yes. For sure.
So, once the season gets closer, once more news happens, once we can get the previews, reviews, interviews, all of the views, we'll be back with Niners news in addition to the live show. Colleen, Trent Sherfield could be a sleeper returner.
Matt, I think so too. Yeah. I really do. Anything that will get that there.
Exactly. Melissa, do you see DJ Jones as continually as a 1 year or multi after year?
I think that he's a 1 year guy specifically because we always have to worry about his health. I feel like DJ Jones, the thing with him is always like, oh, he's nicked up or he's banged up or whatever. So as long as he is that way, I think that he's going to be a 1 year contract guy every single year.
Unfortunately, because he is talented. Yeah. He is talented. And his presence is, you know, it's noticeable in the quality of play, but yeah, that's just where it's at. I'm gonna hold you to that, Matt, in a 5 jersey, unless it's Garcia. Yuck! Hey!
I'll tell you what. I know. Well, hey, Jeff Garcia was fine, but I'll tell you what. When you come on for your interview week and we do our interview with you, I will wear the Trey Lance jersey live when we do that.
There we go. Quality over quantity every day, any day.
Absolutely. That's how I feel. Like, I don't just want to talk to you guys just to, you know, hear myself talk. I don't necessarily like my own voice. So if I have something to say, I'll say it. But if it's something that like, do we really need to go live for that? No, probably not. I'm not going to do it. I want to bring you guys quality content. And Zach's the same way. And we talk about this all the time during the season when things are moving and things are, you know, definitely every day something is happening. Absolutely. We want to bring you guys content if we can. But during the off season, nothing's happening. I mean, the most exciting thing to happen this week was Mike Florio popping off about player compensation for COVID vaccines. It's like, we don't really have a lot to say. So
yeah, exactly.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. Melissa, I've said it at the beginning of this video. I'll say it again. Matt and Zach are totally worth the wait. You guys are truly lovely. We enjoy anything, anytime. We support y'all.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
You're the best. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And that's why you're going to be the first guest on.
Exactly. Big play, Dre. That's
exactly why.
Or Kinlaw, bigger year. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I go Kinlaw.
I think Kinlaw is going to make a huge leap for sure. I think that Dre Greenlaw's biggest thing is to be more consistent, where he makes a lot of splash plays, but that like sometimes you just don't hear about him for a game and a half, and you're just like, where'd Big Greenlaw go? And PFF really like knocks that out. And I'm going to ask Zach about this in a minute. We're going to talk about PFF because y'all know my issue with PFF. But in terms of that, I think Kinlaw has like that next gen leap that he's going to make in year two. So while we're talking about, by the way, Zach, I'm just going to ask you, PFF came out with a list of the top 6 play callers in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan was nowhere to be seen on that list. How do you feel about that? Because I think it's absolute horseshit.
Yeah, it's a complete joke. Do you have the list in front of you by chance?
I don't. But it's so offensive that I tried to push it out of my mind because it's so stupid.
Yeah, no.
Come on, dude.
Here, let me have it right here. It's really bad. And it's almost like, did he die? I mean, he's clearly one of the best. Okay, so they have Matt LaFleur, number 1, Brian Daboll, number 2, Andy Reid, number 3, John Gruden, number 4, Joe Brady, number 5, Byron Leftwich, number 6.
First of all, if anybody was going to be number 1, if anybody other than, you know, listen, I love Kyle Shanahan, but if anybody was going to be number 1, how do you not have Andy Reid at number 1?
Yeah.
Like, if anybody other than Shanahan, because I love Kyle Shanahan, but if I was going to make an argument for anybody other than Kyle, right, it would be Andy Reid. Also, where the fuck is Sean McVay?
Yeah.
Did he die? Did Kyle and Sean die? What happened? Brian Daboll? Get out of here, dude. Really?
It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. And I just feel like it was Eric Eager, I think, is who put this out there. But it's just like, here, let me share the screen, I think. Here we go. So, top offensive play callers. Yeah. Matt LaFleur. How much that is Matt? How much is Aaron Rodgers?
Like, Brian Daboll, okay, fine. Like, you listen, the Bills did a good job. They traded for Stephon Diggs. They got a lot out of Josh Allen. I can't necessarily hate on that. Matt LaFleur, dude, the Packers have been outplayed in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. You cannot be number one if you're getting roped in your own conference playoffs. That's for sure. John Gruden, number four. Seriously, he's a defensive coach. I don't know. I know people talk about him from the quarterback room. Oh, man, I love the way that Derek Carr plays. Oh, he's so good on the whiteboard. Oh, my God, he's so good. But he is not an offensive play caller, okay? Number four, John Gruden over Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
And what's funny is this picture of Matt LaFleur. He's even like, really? Like me, number one?
Yeah. The picture that they put was like, I wonder. Joe Brady, I'm not going to kill because, you know, I think they're doing a good job. Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, I think they're going to do a good job. Joe Brady was the impetus behind that outstanding LSU team with Joe Burrow that set college records. Byron Leftwich, I'm not even going to kill because obviously the Bucks won the Super Bowl last year, so I can't be that mad about it. But Brian Daboll and John Gruden over Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, get the fuck out of here.
It's a joke. And what's funny is the 49ers replied with this picture, and it's like, yes, thank you.
Hey, by the way, good hat choice, Kyle.
Great hat choice, yeah. Yeah, I thought that list was criminal. It's bad.
I feel like Kyle, when this list came out, Kyle had the same reaction he had when Pettin and the Browns called run.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like,
What if we run it? Do what you want. Do what you want.
And then a touchdown. Like, come on, dude. Calm the fuck on.
Yeah. Melissa says Matt LaFleur doesn't have a newbie at center. David is coming off that big injury. Aaron may not play. Yeah.
I am so fascinated by this Packers quarterback drama. I can't even tell you guys.
It's going to be like, crazy, man.
I'm just like, listen, we all know that Jordan Love can't play. No. We all know it. Because if he could play, the Packers would have been like, all right, you're out of here. We're going to trade you. But they're not trading him, which tells me Jordan Love sucks. Yeah. Which is on me because I thought I was a Jordan Love believer. I thought he was a good quarterback coming out of the draft. I missed on that one. But it's like, dude, like he's had time in the offense and they don't feel comfortable sticking him in there. I've seen reports coming out of camp where it was like, you know, it was that one report where it was like, today Jordan Love was shining. It was like, before it was like, oh, he didn't look comfortable. And then he didn't look accurate. But today he looked comfortable and accurate. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. It's
so he had a good day amongst a bunch of bad days. And that's what you guys are going with. Aaron Rodgers is like a top five quarterback talent who's ever played the football game. And you guys are doing wrong by him. And I'm just sitting there looking at it like, please screw up more. This makes our path through the NFC that much easier if Aaron Rodgers is pissed off and not showing up.
Yes. Fernando said, what are your thoughts on the PFF post about which rookie quarterback will win their first Super Bowl? I see it here. I don't think they actually made a prediction or any sort of analysis as to who or why, but they have Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones.
It's going to happen eventually. It's going to happen eventually in terms of quarterbacks who have the most chance. Justin Fields and Trey Lance have like the biggest chance this year because the 49ers obviously went to the Super Bowl in 2019 and were decimated by injuries, but they have a great roster. if Trey Lance takes over that team. And in terms of Justin Fields, the Bears made the playoffs last year, so they have a good team if he can take over. But beyond that, it's just like, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to happen this year, but it's going to happen eventually. Again, those two quarterbacks are the best in terms of odds this year. The Jets are horrendous. The Jaguars aren't very good. The Patriots aren't. Again, the reports are that Mac Jones isn't wowing anybody in Patriots camp. So, you know.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I guess it really just depends on when Trey Lance starts. Because if not, then I think Justin Fields gets the notch right now above Trey Lance. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll take a couple more questions, comments. Shulo, LaFleur couldn't even make Love work. Give him to Kyle, and Love would worth a second round pick for trade value.
The thing with Jordan Love that I've heard out of camp is that he's very tentative in terms of throwing the ball downfield, and then he's very much a check down guy. So I don't know how much that Kyle would be able to alleviate that, because, you know, Kyle does scheme stuff open. Listen, I think Matt LaFleur is a great play caller. I think that he's done Aaron Rodgers wonders in the 2 years that he's been there. They've gone further than they've gone before in terms of where they were at with Mike McCarthy. So I think that that's a big, huge part of it, that I think that LaFleur is very much a good play caller. And Kyle, even though he is probably a better play caller, I think that Love is really, again, I think that Love was a whiff.
Yeah.
By the Green Bay front office. And I think they are having a hard time coming to terms with that. Oh, shit. Don Burr is back. You Lions.
Yeah. I just went ahead and blocked him. Since
good job. Good job. Deal with any of that. No traction here.
No, nothing here. I'm so over Green Bay Smith Bros. They couldn't even compare to Justin and Alden.
Yeah, they're fine. It's whatever. Their defense sucks.
Let's see. Getting a couple more comments here. Aaron had his home championship and was straight 100. Is that trash icon?
Yep. Yeah. Again, Aaron didn't get it done. So, Garcia is the best quarterback since Young, but that's a low bar. I know that for whatever reason you guys want, whatever reason the fan base wants, you think that Colin Kaepernick is the guy. Listen, Colin Kaepernick was a trash quarterback. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
He was solid for a year.
He was solid for a year and then very much, you know, declined. And that's what happens when teams get film on you and start to figure you out and you don't adjust. You're just not very good. And do I think that he absolutely deserves a spot in the NFL? Yes, I do. Do I necessarily disagree with the stance that he took? No, I don't. I'm a veteran. Like, dude, you want to kneel for the flag? I don't care. Like, I fought so that you could do that. Doesn't bother me. That's not what my issue with Colin Kaepernick is. My issue with Colin Kaepernick is he wasn't very good. Plain and simple, he wasn't very good, you know. So Jeff Garcia absolutely is the best 49ers quarterback since Young, and that includes Alex Smith, who I love, and Colin Kaepernick, who I didn't love but who I was proud took us to a Super Bowl, and that includes Jimmy Garoppolo, who, you know, I don't love, I like, but who took us to a Super Bowl and can't stay healthy. Absolutely, dude. Like, but I, again, and I talked about this too. Like, I was tired of this nickel and diming bullshit where I was like, draft a quarterback, round one, top-notch guy, and the 49ers did it. They traded three first-round picks, essentially. They traded two first-round picks back or up in the first round with their third pick to get Trey Lance. That is a commitment. And so now I'm all in on the Trey Lance train. I need to see Trey Lance ball the fuck out, and hopefully he's that future Hall of Famer, future Pro Bowler, future franchise quarterback for the 49ers that we haven't had since Steve Young retired. And Garcia made the Pro Bowl, and I liked Jeff Garcia a lot. I thought he was a scrappy, scrappy veteran guy. But, dude, we definitely, definitely, definitely need a franchise quarterback. Hey, you know what, Kali? Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm twisted like shoestrings. Get out of here.
That's funny. Yeah, no.
It's true, though. I've definitely had a lot to drink today.
Definitely. As he said.
81vino.com/49ershive/hive. Enter it for 10% off.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I love you guys. I love you guys so much.
All right. Thank you so much. It was a low bar going back to Jeff Garcia. Yes. Timmertay, Ken Dorsey, Brian Hoyer. Yeah. Crappy quarterbacks. The list goes on.
Hopefully, the 49ers did you bring up Ken, did you just say Ken Dorsey?
Ken Dorsey. Cody Pickett. Teo Sullivan.
Troy Smith.
Yeah. Yep. It was tough. All right. Last question. Booger McFarland chooses Packers. Mike Tannenbaum picks 49ers. Dan Grazino, Rams, and Greeny picks Washington. Who's the biggest threat to the Buccaneers and the NFC Championship?
Mike Greenberg picked the Washington football team. Get out of here, dude.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
The Packers, honestly, I definitely don't think they're going to make a bunch of noises here because there's so much turmoil at the quarterback position. That's going to be a huge distraction for the entire season. Even if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you're looking at a distraction for the team. Oh, yeah. So I just think that like in a 17 game season, you're looking at Aaron Rodgers who's like, fuck dude, I'm probably going to be out of here this year. You know, whatever guys, y'all are killing me. That's fine. I love you guys, but whatever. No, I do think that out of those four teams, I think the 49ers are the most likely to challenge. I think that Tampa Bay has to be the favorite going in. Obviously, they're returning everybody who won the Super Bowl last year. You know, Tom Brady recently came out and was like, you know, and I think that he's going to be a good example on the team where he was like, hey, you know what? Winning back-to-back Super Bowls, it's not just, hey, we're going to come in the season. We won last year, so we just do everything the same. No, you definitely have to adjust to the season as it is. And Tom, I think, is that really rock solid leader that's going to be like, hey guys, you cannot get unhungry from winning the Super Bowl because it's not a given that we're going to be as good as we were last year. We have to work at it. So I think that Tampa is definitely tops in the NFC, but the 49ers are right there at the top of that. Given that if they can stay healthy, I absolutely think that this 49ers team can compete for the NFC championship for sure. For sure.
I agree with you. I think the 49ers, as long as things go to plan, but also I'm going to throw in a little bit of a curveball here and say the Bears, because the Bears are competitive, just like you said, with Trubisky. Now they got a legitimate quarterback with
Justin Fields plays. Holy shit, dude. That team's going to be tough.
Great defense. They already have a solid, kind of offense together. And that's a team to look out for.
Absolutely. And that team, you know, people were talking about, oh, the defense is falling off. But again, we talked about it, you know, if the defense is sitting out there and going like, we're down three, we just made a stop. Shit, Mitchell Trubisky is going back out there. Ugh, that sucks. Yeah. Right? Like, you're not going to play as hard. But if you got a guy like Justin Fields, who, again, immediately, I'm watching the reports. My best friend is a Bears fan. He's telling me all these videos and stuff. So I follow the Bears. My wife, again, so Bears, Dolphins, I'm always going to follow. My best friend's a Bears fan. My wife is a Dolphins fan. So I'm going to follow them too. But for the Bears, you know, I'm watching, you know, the Justin Fields stuff, and it's just like Andy Dalton throws three picks. Justin Fields comes out and just kills it. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Well, Justin Fields, if he can, you know, make the leap that, again, I was big on Justin Fields coming out in the draft. Yeah. If he makes what I thought he was going to be, the Bears are going to be a problem in the NFC. Yeah. So, absolutely, I agree with you that the Bears could be an issue in terms of who the 49ers have to compete with. I think it's Tampa, and then I think it's San Francisco, and Chicago absolutely is right there for the NFC.
I'm going to end this with a prediction. I'm going to say the new Brady versus Manning is going to be Lance versus Fields. I think that for the next decade, the NFC is going to see fantastic quarterback play.
You think they play this year?
I'll say next year. I'm going to say next year because I think Jimmy stays relatively healthy.
49ers and Bears do play like every year, right? Like that's the one I feel like they played the last like 4 or 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that that's going to be the new quarterback, you know, battle duo rivalry that's going to come out of the NFC. And that's all due to the fact that this was a fantastic quarterback class and two teams like the Bears and the Niners, who are relatively
Did you see Lance in his game jersey?
He looked good, dude.
God damn, that looked good.
He looked good, man.
I'm telling you, look good. Yeah. Look good. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. So,
all right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you. Subscribe if you haven't already. We're super close to 2,000 subscribers. We're going to give away another 49ers jersey, probably a Lance jersey. Whoever wins, they get to pick it. And like this video if you haven't.
Trey Lance jersey, guys. You know you want that one.
hit it. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. And we'll catch you guys next week with another live episode of the Ready Cool Standard podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We love having you here. Be on the lookout for Melissa joining us. We're going to get her on the show real soon. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. Everybody else has a chance to come on the show. Let us know if you're interested. We're always looking for, you know, our fans to come on. This is a new initiative. We love having you guys. It's going to be an absolute blast getting different opinions in here for the show. We love having you, as always. And until next time, guys, go Niners.